Our thought is the promised land. And need your prayers. I'm thankful for the promises of God. And I'm thankful there is a promised land. So y'all once again pray for us. I may go about this a little different. I've thought about this so much and how the Lord would have us to go about it, and I've prayed about it more than I thought about it. I've tried to meditate on it. I want to get it right. But we're going to take a reading over out of the 13th chapter of Numbers, and God had told Moses to send spies out. He told them to send 12 men, each rulers of the tribes. We might even read the first couple of verses, and then we're going to drop down and, for time's sake, and start reading the 25th verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them unto the wilderness of Paran, and those men were heads of the children of Israel. So these men that he sent were rulers. They were heads over those 12 tribes. So these men, the people had confidence in. And I want you to understand the Lord sent these men. He told Moses who to send. So we need to get an understanding of that. So then you find that they go and they search out the land. And they find that it is truly a land of milk and honey that the Lord had promised. They found a cluster of grapes that was so big they had to put it on a stick, two men to pack it. And they come back and showed the people what they was able to find there. So this truly was the promised land. And it says in the 25th verse, and we're going to begin reading there, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came unto Moses and Aaron and to the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness, Paran, and Kadesh, excuse me, and brought back the word unto them, unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And I want you to pay attention how they started off or what they had to say and how their story changed, some of them. Not all of them, but some of them. And they told them and said, we came into the land whither thou sent us. Surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong and dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites that dwell in the land in the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea by the coast of Judah. And Caleb stilled the people. Now, I want you to pay attention to what Caleb done right here. They done told them that surely this is the land of milk and honey. But then they said, listen, these people are strong here. And their cities are protected. And I can done see, you find over and over these people, how they murmured against God and against Moses. How you brought us here to starve to death in the wilderness. We're going to thirst to death. So he said he stilled the people. The people are already upset right now. They're already starting to murmur again because here the land is. It's filled with milk and honey, but we're not going to be able to take it because they're stronger than we are. So he said he stilled them. In other words, he quietened them down. And he told them what he had to say about the matter. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Right now, let us go and possess it. Let us go and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. So he knew the promise of God, that this was a promised land. God had made a promise to them, and he knew God was going to keep his promise. And I want you to know today, there's a promise that's been made to all mankind. If they will come God's way. And so today, you will have to come God's way. But you've got to believe and trust in the Lord. But listen, and it said, but the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought in, they done told them that it was the land of milk and honey. But listen to what they say now. They brought up an evil report, the land which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone and to search it, the land that eateth up its inhabitation. In other words, it's done providing all it can for what's there. It won't provide for nobody else. And I want you to know that's how men do. They change their story. But God never changes. When it comes to his promises, he will keep his promises. I may change. I may, and you may too. Don't tell me you won't. I want you to know, men change. Let all men be liars, but God be true. So I want you to know, these men that saw this land, it flowed with milk and honey. They saw it was just what God promised. But when they saw there may be a little danger in it for them, that they was going to have to humble themselves, that they was going to have to lean on God and accept the promise of God, they got scared, and then they started giving the evil report. They begin to say, this land, it's taking care of all it can now. It's eating up its inhabitants. Ain't nobody else it can take care of. They changed their story. Honey, a lot of us change our story when it comes down to the rubber meeting the road, when it comes down to us doing what God would have us to do. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched, and the children of Israel saying, the land through which we have gone and searched the land eateth up its inhabitants thereof. And all the people that saw it, saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our sight grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So they saw all that was there. They saw there was no hope. And there are so many times, I want you to listen today. And I want to talk to the lost mostly, but I believe there's people here. I believe there's people among us today that God's trying to lead them somewhere to trust him, and they're not willing to follow after him. They're not willing. They're more scared of what a man may think and what a man may do to them than they are being afraid of God. I believe that. And I want you to know that is dangerous. We live in that today. It's in our ranks. It's among our people. People are more afraid of man. They fear a man more than they do God. And I'll tell you, every now and then, I'm just about the same. I'm just being honest. There's times I fear man just about more than I do God. And I want to tell you, that's a dangerous place to be. I want to go and read from a text now. Over in the Hebrew letter, where God had promised this Canaan land unto Abraham and his seed that would follow after him, in the 11th chapter and 8th verse. And this is where our text come from, our thought, the promised land. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go up into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he so journeyed into the land of promise, into a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him, and the same promise, for he look for a city which the foundation and builder would make her is God. So we find here where it's talking about Abraham was willing to go, and that was Canaan. That was the promised land. And I want you to know it was promised not only him,
to Jacob and Isaac, but their seed. And I want you to realize that we're going to try to get around to this, but listen, I want to go over here to Peter and read there. Y'all all know what I'm going to read, but listen, lost friend, today God has made a promise that whosoever believeth in his Son shall not perish, but should have everlasting life. There's a promise in that. If you will repent, he will save your soul. He will not change in his promise. There is a promised land that you can enter into, but you got to come his way. Over in Peter it said, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some man count slackness, but he is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So God, he's not slack when it comes to his promises. There is a promised land. He had told them over and over, this land of milk and honey, it is yours. It's yours for the taking. All you've got to do is go to it. You got to believe me and trust in me. But they wouldn't do it. And there's people that sit in here Sunday after Sunday. You tell them over and over again that there's a land that flows with milk and honey. A promised land that you're able to go to. And you come time after time after time after time. And you push it aside. You don't believe the report. Caleb, give a good report. Amen. And I believe Joshua, if you go and read on the 14th chapter, you'll find where Joshua agreed with Caleb and to do with this matter. There was only two that came back and gave a good report. The two that believed the promise of God, that believed what he would carry out, what he said he would carry out. I want you to know today, the reason you've not got saved yet, you have not believed God. He sent the heads and the rulers, the ones that had authority, the ones that the people looked up to. I want you to know these men, how they thought they knew more than what God knows. Sometimes when you look at it, you think, well, how can these things be? Ain't that what Nicodemus said? How can these things be? How can a man be born again? This just looks like it'd be impossible for this to happen. But God told him, he said, you must be born from above. And I want you to listen today. Honey, you're not believing the report. And you need to believe that God has made a way for you to be saved. He's there preparing a place for you today. He's going to prepare a place for us. And you've got to believe the report. They didn't believe the report that Caleb and Joshua gave. I think about this morning driving over here, I hadn't even thought about this, and I thought about so many, how we should have trusted in the Lord and leaned not upon our own understanding, and we should. I'll never forget the message that Brother Heath preached right out there about that. That was one of the best messages I've ever heard to do with that. But listen to me, we're not to lean upon our own understanding. Those 10 men, all they saw was giants. All they saw were grasshoppers in their sight. We standing out there yesterday, I stood beside CJ. There's not too many men I feel small beside, but I was looking up to him. He's a pretty good sized feller, I want you to know. But listen to me, that's how they felt. They said the walls around the cities, there's no hope for us here. And then they got to the point, even if we could take them, there's nothing for us there. It ain't going to take care of us. They got to the point they just lied about it to take care of themselves. How many people have lied? How many of you have lied? When they first asked you, somebody come to you and said, are you lost? A big part of us said, no, I ain't. That's how men are. Men have changed their story. Whatever's convenient. But God never changes. When he told them, this is a land you're going to possess, he meant you're going to possess it.
Amen.
One of the first places you think about him is one of my favorite places in the Bible. It's dealing with the Passover. He told them in the 13th chapter of Exodus in the 5th verse, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, into the Hittites and the Amorites. Where was they going to spy out earlier? This is the land. And to the Hivites and the Jebusites. He swore, okay, because there was nobody higher to swear to. He swore to himself. He swore to thy fathers to give thee a land flowing with milk and honey that thou shalt keep and that this service and this month. So he swore to Abraham. He swore to Isaac. He swore to Jacob that they would possess this land. He told them, he promised them, it was the promised land.
Amen.
And Caleb and Joshua was the only ones that believed the report. They're the only one that believed God. Caleb didn't say, let's wait and let's just, a lot of times we'll say, well, when God tells us something, well, let's pray about it a while. And I ain't saying there's nothing wrong trying the spirits, but a lot of times we wait too long. You know what Caleb said? Caleb said, let's go possess it right now. Right now's the time. When God is letting you know, then is the time. Don't wait till later, because the devil will talk you out of it. And that's exactly what happened. The devil got on the scene, and those men, he gave them an evil report, and they gave it to the people, and the people become scared to go. And they wandered. And there's people here today wondering right among us. They're scared to take what God has already promised them. And that's the fact. God had promised this land to them. Land that flows with milk and honey. I've never seen it yet. I've only got an earnest of it. But I want to tell you, it's good. It's good when you see somebody you love, a good friend of yours, laying on the ground and you can talk to him and know it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's good to know when you lay down this life that there's a better land to go to. But these rulers and these heads, a lot of people, a lot of times we get to thinking too much of people. We put our trust in the men rather than the Lord. Ain't that what Peter said? Hey, shouldn't we put our trust in the Lord rather than man? I believe in the 118th division of Psalms, they claim that's right, dead in the middle of the Bible. It's better to put your confidence in the Lord than it is in men. So I thought about this scripture on the way over here this morning in the market when we got here. There was a young man. The Bible said he was a rich young ruler. And he said, he come to Jesus and he said, good, listen, I'm just going to read this. And behold, I came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I shall have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now I want you to pay attention. He was a rich young ruler. Who did they send? They sent the rulers, the heads. He saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. And the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. See, that's what God told him. He said, follow me into the promised land. But they weren't willing to follow. But when the young man heard it, this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Had a lot to lose there, just like those men, those 10 men that gave the bad report. And then, now this is where my thought was in this. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed and said, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. In other words, Caleb saw with God. Joshua saw with God. We can get this land. It's already ours. All we got to do is go possess it. He's not gave it to us. But with men, it's not possible. I want you to know, for you today to be able to get there on your own merits, it's impossible. There ain't nothing you've done good enough or ever will do good enough to get you to heaven. But if you're willing to give up everything and follow him, you're willing to give up your family, you're willing to die for his cause, you're willing to die for him, you're willing to repent and see where you're wrong, you're willing to trust him, you can walk right into that promised land and possess it. There's going to be some suffering. You're going to have to be willing to suffer, but it's yours. He's done made the promise. Amen. And he's not slack concerning his promise. It's mine. It's a lot of yours. I'm going to go there someday. Abraham went. He didn't question God. He just went and left everything he had. Quit questioning God. Quit questioning whether it's yours or not, and let him give it to you. Surrender to him. Just completely surrender, and it can be yours. I never had thought about all this in this way before, but I also, once again, you that are lost, please, please go to him. But I believe there's people here that are scared to death to follow God. I know what that's like. Some of you may not. I do. He called me to preach one night, sitting about milled away back there in the church. I got saved on the right-hand side. I got called to preach for Sister Chelsea Workman that's sitting right there in the Rocky Mountain Church in that same place. I was praying to him one night. I prayed to him, went for years and never felt nothing. Went for years, and I'm needing to do something. I need to feel his spirit, and I prayed to him, and he told me to testify, and I got up and testified, and everything went good. And I went a few years again. I sat back there, and I said, Lord, I need to feel you. I'm willing to do whatever you'd have me to do if I could just feel you again. And he said, preach my word. And I got up, and I walked out of there scared to death. For 8 years, 8 years, running in the wilderness, rolling around, scared to death to go do what he'd have me to do. And I believe there's other people just like that. I don't think I'm the only one that's ever been scared to follow God. When it's all done, been laid right out there for you. I got willing my wife laying down there in the hospital. She'd had surgery, go have surgery this Tuesday, pray for her. She's laying down yonder and she wanted to take a bath. We get in there. I'm washing her up, cleaning her up. Heather, I know how you feel. That woman quit breathing. Her color changed. She was getting blue. I was pulling that string in that bathroom. I was screaming to the top of my lungs, Lord, help us. God, somebody, please help us. She done fell out there. Liberty of disrank. Gone. In my mind, she was gone. Lord, please help us. Please, God, help us. And I finally said, Lord, if you let her be all right, I'll preach your word. And when I said it, I didn't get it out of my mouth. She went, oh, I got right on her. And I knew I'd done it then. I'd made a promise to God. We get home. She's laying in the bed, not able to walk. She'd had back surgery. I had to go to church by myself, and I went there and I laid beside her, and I said, I gotta go do something. Everything's gonna change. And I thought it's gonna be a lot worse. I did. I thought, boy, it's gonna be awful. It's gonna be the awfulest thing we've ever experienced. You know, it's gonna mess our family up. Just everything's gonna fall to pieces. This is awful. And I went up there and I told them about how my daddy had whooped me so many times. And I was hard-headed. But I said, the Lord has whooped me. And on my call to preach, I got willing to follow him. I was willing to give up everything and just follow him. No, I didn't get saved, but I believe there's people here just like that today. Just give it up. Follow after him. He's got better things in store for you than you've ever dreamed of. If you're here today and lost, just give up. Give it to him. He's got a land prepared for you like we've never seen. Honey, that cluster of grapes ain't nothing compared to what's in store for us. Honey, there's a land that true flows with milk and honey. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more somebody falling out and turning colors and no longer, no more funeral homes, no more having to call on God and ask for forgiveness. A land, he goes on to say in that 11th chapter, a land, a city where God is not ashamed to be their God. I'll never let him down again. A land that truly is a promised land. Amen. Do you believe the report today? Or are you scared to possess it? What are you scared of, this altar? You scared of somebody seeing you cry? Are you scared of humbling yourself? What are you scared of today? What's getting between you and the promised land? We may be grasshoppers in the sight of the devil, but honey, my God, just cast him right out of heaven just like he was nothing. And he's going to cast him in hell someday just like he's nothing. So don't let the devil beat you today. Follow God. If you need to seek the Lord, I'm going to give an altar call. He's promised it. It's yours. You just got to want it. Come his way. Come his way today. Follow him. That's my thought. I hope somebody gets something out of it. As we stand and sing.